So we're holding in the middle of the long Agarata here about Doros Rabavira Bistanoshet Zitkanyas. And there are many, the Chazal itself is kind of very sussum. There are many, many different points over here. Last time we saw the Maral spoke about the Blia and the Karka, if it was natural, not natural, and so on. Now he's going to address a few more points. So we're holding here in the Maral, it's Memches, Amud Memches in the standard edition, and it is the bottom. Ubishvil Umashamashvil Noshnitzit Kanishabdon Nigalu, Urem is Nifla Moid Moid. So it says that the women were the ones that made the effort to go to the husbands and to be Nizdakik to them and to have the children. Shafila bedeira shal moishe lehoyu. Shenema hovelechem anashach hachom nevoinim. Oksiv ekach mechachem rosh shifteichem v'leksiv unevoinim. Oksiv yisachem argorim. Oksiv neyisach yedeh bina lasir adkan. So let's describe. I mean, he's going to explain what it is. I'll try to explain it outside a little bit so we'll understand what the point of it is. The entire Musig of Zivug means two inyanim join together and produce a third inyan. So this concept goes from Hanhagas HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Zachon Nekev Yesh Ve'isha, and so on. Now, whenever you have a Zivug that is vertical, meaning higher and lower, there are two reasons why this might happen. So let's take an example. Imagine you have this Rav who is a very chashuv person, and he decides to drop in the local bar or casino to visit the people to visit the people hanging out there. Now, there are two possibilities in what this is all about. One is that the Rav would like to take a break from being a Rav, and he'd like to, gamble a bit, drink a bit, and sort of hang out with the Olam Shtigl. And then there's a possibility where he is trying to uplift them, to get them to a high madrega, to have them do tshuva, whatever, however you want to describe it. So in every time you have this chabrus of al yoinim and tachtoinim, you can have it in a two-way direction. You had nephilim, these were malachim that came out to this world and became stuck in this world and trapped in this world. So in a zivuk ish ve'isha, so ish is considered usually the tzura, which is the higher of the two. The isha is considered usually the chaymer. Now, that zivug is an absolute necessity. There is no hiroyam from tzura and tzura or chaymer and chaymer. Chaymer and chaymer produce nothing. Tzura and tzura produces nothing. It's only tzura and chaymer together that produce a new entity which has the chaymer and the tzura together. That's a must. So you have a zivug chaymer tzura. It can take place in two ways. Let's take another mashal. Imagine I'm building a Beis Medrash, a shul, some sort of makom kaddish, and I get very involved in making it a very, very a stunning place, a place that's kind of overwhelms you. Now, I can be looking at it as a type of conduit, like the way to get people to feel a little more ruchnius is give them, a tall ceiling and a very imposing edifice, etc. Or I can express my yitzra for nice things, for fancy things, for expensive things, and go all out. But both of them are possible explanations for what's happening over here. And obviously, it'll depend which direction it'll go. So let's give a sense. Let's go back to our first mashal, and let's picture two possible scenarios. So I have this rav coming down to the bar. So two things could have happened. It could be that the rav decided I'm in the mood to sort of take it easy a bit, chill out a bit, and I'm going down to the bar. It could be that the people in the bar asked them to come down and speak to Rechizuk or whatever it is. Depending on where the tshuka started, that will describe the event. There's a story with the Alta Slabotka. There was a friar guy, Bacher was friar, he went to university. In those days, university at friar was basically synonymous. And he was a bright fellow, and he would occasionally come to Slabotka, and the altar would be mechaber him tremendously, and mechaber him and spend time talking with him, and so on and so forth. There was a very chashuv bacha who it irked. He wasn't getting anywhere near the attention this guy was getting. And finally, maybe it was a Purim or whatever it was, he couldn't hold it in, and he asked the altar, "Are you talking? This guy is a good for nothing. And when he comes to the yeshiva, he gets a red carpet treatment. I'm Baruch Hashem, a Baruch was performing top performance, and no attention." So the altar told him, "Well, that's exactly true. Let's think about it. He's got every single taiva that he wants in university. Why is he coming to me? When he comes to me, it's because he had his iris of toiv. So the Yetzer Toiv brought him to me, and I'm very enamored by Yetzer Toiv. You're sitting and learning and davening and doing everything right. What is it that you want from me? Covered and attention. That's the Yetzer Hara in you. So when you come to me, the Yetzer Hara is coming to me. Don't like the Yetzer Hara particularly much. But Al Kaponim, the musig of the zivug, depending on whether it starts lamala, lamata, lamata, lamala, who initiated it, who instigated it, is really determines a lot about what it is. So Chazal's lashon is, if the isha is mazras tchila, she's the one that's mishtekik, she's the one who desires, initiates it, then you'll have scharim, you'll have chashav scharim, and so on. For the woman, the zivug, the dibuk to a zohar is a certain step up. For the man, it's a taiva, and therefore, for him, it's a step down, he's going into the world of taivas. So depending on who initiates it, determines what this event is and what the quality of the event is. That's what Chazal expresses, that's what Maral explains, this inyan of Isha Mishtekekes or Isha Shtekek. There's a Kotzkevart, it's a Geravart, I guess, in Ger, this is a big topic. It says, Ve'elov Tshukosech V'hu Yimshol Boch. So they say, if it's Elov Chukoseich, then he's Moshel on her. If it's a Leo Chukosei, then she's Moshel on him. In other words, depending on the direction and the flow determines relationship. Is this somebody who needs to let out his taiva, or is this someone looking to build up something? Okay, so he says like this. So that's what the Chazal say, that a woman that when she is mishtaikik, and she's moiled bonim that even his mama shabena wasn't, so on, bia does it. Kasha isha tevas oisoi, aza isha mizabekes bebaila, she yesh le mailas tsura, o le isha mida chomri, vene mizabek achoyme betsura, umashlemes a isha atzma betsura. So since she is being shaya for tsura, and that's what she wants, then what's happening is a dibuk and so on to the tzura. The lefichach havin labanim nevoinim shenim shachim akol achatzura or chaykim achayma. And that's why you're going to have these banim nevinim. V'chein kashahoya noshim ishtoikso baleim, or you yoldas banim ruim legula. Shekovarnim v'koyim isharbe kashibur alochem v'befrat, v'atsur ben choyrin, kashayishim shakekas albaila, v'kan ashloma sachayim v'tsura, or melidin banim chacham nevinim ruim legula. So he says like this, that chomer is always mishubit. Chomer does not have its own self-realization. In other words, let's talk about avdus and chayrus. An eved and a ben chayrin could both be working very hard. An eved could be working 12 hours a day in the store, and a ben chayrin could be working 12 hours in the same store. If you're somebody's employee, you could be working crazy hours. And if you're independent, and your own business person, you're working a crazy amount of time. The difference is who has the ability to initiate and to say and to be kaveh, etc., etc. Who's the one that can do that? That's nafka mina. In other words, if the person who initiates it, he's the one who can initiate. He's a mechayrim. If the person is being acted on, then he's an eved. The chomer never has tachlis. It's something that can be acted upon. It can't act. Surah is something that acts. So therefore, surah will is the sign of ben chayrin, and it goes hand in hand with chayrus. Okay. V'chein masha oma sheimakirin es bayron shama zekei levanveyut. So it says as soon as they came, it said, ah, this is the one we remember. Hakol nimshach mizeh mipnei shelo yalhem pchisus v'sichlus hachayme v'yemakir mesbeiran. So the point of being makas beiran means like this. When we talk about a person, no one can see the Rebbeinu Shalom. The question is, there's a world of ruchnias, and there's a world that is physical. For a person who's very physical, the world of ruchnius is incomprehensible. So Lamarshal, let's take two goyim. One goy is coarse, and he spends his days drinking and bumming around and doing whatever. And somebody says, well, the high point of Jewish life is the Beis Medrash. And you take him into the Beis Medrash, and he looks around and looks around and looks around, and he says, and I thought they said the Jews were smart people. I mean, sitting around over books all day long, I mean, like, hello, like, they're missing out on life. Take somebody else who's a Bar Seichel and an Adam Chacham, a guy, bring him in, and he's familiar. The idea that people are sitting and discussing and debating and thinking something through and this and that, he may be totally unfamiliar with the subject matter, but he's makir. Yeah, this is a place where people realize themselves. This is a place that's chashuv. So the being makir Rebbeinu Shalom, saying zeh keli, is because they were familiar with that type of framework. They're familiar with something ruchnius. So he says the and therefore that's the pshat b'makir. Next, even though it's one paragraph, it's really, he's explaining with one thread of thought many of the pieces. Ubamasha ama bina mishpasayim. So what does it mean bina mishpasayim? It's very unclear. The word bina mishpasayim is not clear. The mefarshim have different pirushim for the word mishpasayim means. One pirush of mishpasayim is pats. But most Mefarshim, I think the Mitzudas David learns that it means pots and pans. It means like somewhere in the balagan of it, they found, you know, they were Mizdavik. Most Rishayim learn, and the Malbim says, the word Mishpasayim means fence, boundary. It comes from the word Safa, which means an edge. And they start to other psukim, Bein Hayam Mishpasayim, by Barak, it says, you set at the edge of the field and you didn't come close. Beina Mishrasayim means between the boundaries of the field. So to speak, the no man's land between the fields. That's what Mishrasayim means. So he says, Masha'oma Beina Mishrasayim Hudova Omi. Kotzoloyma Shahoyolehem is Akhtus Agamashesh Zivuk. Vizenikra Beina Mishrasayim. Lefishe Shom Mishavrim Umisachtim Hagvulim. But the is Akhtus Agamashesh Zivuk is Dafkazi Shabaila. Haben Neulad Eno Chomri. So he says, a woman is the one that's moiled a child. So if she is mizda, so she's chomri, and the child would tend to be chomri. If she is mizdabek totally with the tzura, then the child is totally shaykh to the tzura. If her zivug is not sholem, in other words, the boundaries are still clear, so the default setting for a woman is chaymer. So even though she may have had a momentary interaction with tzura, at the end of the day, it still becomes chaymer. So the point of they would be mizdakik bein ha-mishpasayim means a place where the boundary of chaymer was disappeared. It was kol kuloi a makrim with tzura was chalmet. Tzura be'etzem doesn't have boundaries the way chayma has. It's a concept. It's an idea. It's something beyond, and therefore it doesn't have that type of limitation. But this after the gosh zibuk is dabsi shabayla aben noila in a chomik mischabu chay mit tzura comes out of myla. So his first shot in this part of the Chazal is just that the divuk should be a dover sholem, and the chomer should be mekabel tzur entirely, so that the boundaries between the chaymer and the tzura cease to exist. It's so to speak one and the same, and that's when it's shayach that the child be bal tzura. He now says a second pshat, and this second pshat is deeper, and it goes in a certain sense to the heart. V'kasha oy tovin de v'chochma teida, ki kasha yesh kan achtos al azivu adi tshuka sa isha. Oz yesh kan zivuk aloiki. V'zekvar yizbaya pamim harbe kachilu kudova gashmi v'achtos in yaloiki. Ke'achtos hu shaykhul inyan nivdol migeshem v'achilik v'achpirud tomid legashmi. O'lefika shes achto v'achtos gomo v'burma inyan aloiki loigashmi. Let's explain what he's saying here and what he's talking about, what he means over here. So until now, the pshat was the man is ruchni, the woman is gashmi. You know, if they're mischaba, the chaima takes on the properties of the tzura as much as possible, and that becomes something ruchni. This is a deeper pshat in itself, in the etzem inyan of chibur and so on. I explained before that in the world of Kabbalah, we speak about zivugim. That's the not on the language. That's like the mainstay of Kabbalah is the different midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that come together at different events, Yontif, Shabbos, Mitzvahs. You know, the Shem Yichud Kucha Brichu Shchintei. That's what we're doing is. Whatever action we do in this world, that's what we're doing. We're taking this world and joining it with a higher world. We're taking Zman and making it part of a higher entity and so on. The whole Metzius of split and divided parts are a Gashmistika construct. Because what I'm doing is I'm explaining, I can't understand the entire integrated whole. We struggle. So to understand, it's just like when a person is trying to learn something, the key word is to break it down into small pieces and get a sense of each piece. I can deal with each piece. And then the whole thing sort of begins to get integrated. So just like, I use a very physical muscle. I don't know if it still exists, but when I was young, they used to have dance schools. Not that I ever went to anyone, I assure you. But they used to have these dance schools where they had, I used to just see it in the cartoons. They always have it. They would have these charts. Step one, this foot to the right, that foot to the left. Step two, back a step. Step three, this way. Each step very clearly defined. Now, it was supposed to take you 10 seconds each part of it, which looked nothing like a dance. It looked like a dance frozen in slow motion. But you did each one. You practiced each motion, and then you practiced them all together. And when you would see it, it looked extraordinarily graceful. It's like a ballet. It looks like it flows, and yet it does consist of many discrete steps is sort of flowing together. So our tfisa works at units, and the emes exists at the integration of units. We don't understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu's all hanhagas together. It's not something we could be typhus. We do understand sections. We understand midas hadin. We understand midas harachmin. We understand midas hachesed. We understand midas hadhoid. We can understand different pieces, but an integration of it, it's hard to understand. A person can understand the world of gashmias. Our senses are very tuned to it. We also can understand the world of ruchnias, but the two together, how eating becomes a ruchnias thing, very, very difficult. So we don't have that ability to integrate the two. So the Maharal is saying integration is ruchnias and discrete units is chaimer. So therefore he says, let's take an example. Just use the word the chaimer tzura. Imagine I have this notebook as a rectangle. So this being a rectangle, I know exactly what it is. I know it. I can find it. It's fine. But when I say there's a rectangle, it's a field that's growing. There's a rectangle, that's my table. And when I try to think of all the rectangles in the world, the concept of rectangle, I don't know what that means. What is a rectangle? I can understand this. This is this. So physical chushim get to this. So any discrete unit is always gashmi, chomri. The klolius ha'inyan is ruchnius. So anytime there's a zivuk where there emerges a total integration of chayim and tzura, we have a ruchnistic experience. And that's what a zivuk of a man and a woman, when the ruchnius and the gashmius come together, then there is that is an extraordinary ruchnistic event. And that's what he says, Bein Ashvatayim, when any period was erased, the chibur was total. The concept of Bein Gvulim means I'm in the fields. I'm not in a field. I am in the fields. So the place that is above places, the place that is beyond places, the place, and that this is this side of. It says Yerushalayim was not nischalik lishvatim. It was above gvulos of shvatim. Yerushalayim was bein hashvatayim. The makom hamigdash was aimed in tzvufim shtach merivachim. It transcended its place. And the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Makom Aron, was Eidim and Aminyan. The more you transcend Gvul and place and it becomes one, that's when you have something that's Ruchnius. Okay, so that is a second, that is a second Havana, much deeper Havana. The first Havana they explained was simply, this is Chaima, this is Surah, this is Ruchnius, this is Gashmius, and when you subordinate yourself to the Ruchnius, you become Ruchnius self. Here he says the possibility of merging Ruchnius and Gashmius in itself is what transcends this world and becomes something else. He's going to now bring an analogy to it from the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because Tovin Devechachma Tovin Kama Gdoilin Devechachamim Vehu Soid Nista Sheyesham Sheyesh Beshem Ish Yud Ubi Isha Hei Ubi Ischabrus Yish Kan Shem Ka. So the Nechib of Ish and Isha together, you have the Shem Ka. So neither the Yud nor the Hei is and this is very interesting because Chazal say that kibikosh Hashem tzur olamim yud is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create olam haba, hey is what he used to create olam hazeh, but neither yud nor hey are shem Hashem. Even though the yud is so holy and so wonderful and it's olam haba and it's small and it's tiny and it's miramis to everything in the world, there's no kedusha in the letter yud. But when you have a yud and a hey together as one word, that's one of the shemas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, ish has the yud in it, which is corresponds to the moruchnistic, to the olam haba, etc. The isha has the hey in it, which and the two together are what become that unit. So the Shem Hashem is dafka in the harmony of the two together. This represents the harmony of the two in Yanim, the Yur and the Hay, and that's why that is the Shem Hashem. Ulefikach bischar im tishke von benamish besaim shamayla loikish is a chaynu. Hoyenim shaha acheze gamken shilam bizis mitzrayim. That's the hemshir of the chazal over here. That there was zeicha, the chazal dashin is posik. Im tishke von ben shvatayim. It says, bischar shetishke von ben shvatayim. Zochu kanfe yoyne nechbe bekesev ever serbi rakrak. Chorus. So there was zeicha to two things. One is silver, one gold. So he says, "Hoynirgas are ki mile zay shekona de benosayim uchgalim kesev zog." V'zeh shama kanfei nechba bekesev erseriaker chorutz kadi achdus hazivuk shulamalo aloikis mesbar yimoshech hakesev azog v'shemoshech hakonav achayoyna. Now, I think that he means to imply the following. Kesev and Zov are seen as representing the two most basic midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kesev is chesed, ava, it's a white type of color. The Lashon Kesev is Lashon Kisufin, which means to be mishtaykek. Zohav is reddish, it's got a red flavor to it. And it represents Midas Adin. So when we have, it represents Avan Yira, when we have the Achdus, then we can mezeich it to both Kesev and Zahav. The two coming together is only Shaykh in that Oifin when it's one. Let's give another example of this. The Zohar Kodesh says that Ava and Yira are like two wings that are on a person that lift up his meisim. The Ava and Yira are the wings that lift up a meisim to make the meisim more noble, higher, and so on. the wings, as opposed versus the foot, a person can drag his feet and still walk. I mean, the feet may have a hard time synchronizing, but you know, you can schlep yourself along. The hands certainly. Wings, they either fly in sync or they don't. There is no, the wings can only work when they are totally synchronized. They you can't flap each wing at a, you know, if they're off, you flap. So he says, therefore, there is zeicher to two wings. Kadatsa zivik shemar l'tumas, right? Yimoshcha kesa azok, mashi yimoshcha kanef ha-chayoyna. Lefikach, why is the metaphor kan for yoyna? Fikach oma kan for yoyna, krom yoyna, ha-shem achtus ha-chibur. Because a yoyna represents a bird that is very, very devoted to its spouse. It brings the famous medrash. Kena yoyna acha shemes echman ha-zivik v'ischa ba-shene l'zug acher. Lachen krom yoyna she-zivik shem zivik gomo. V'ach zanim shach liyas nech v'kesa b'zov. So over here, it means that once, if the child is born out of a total ichud, mizug of the midas, then we have the ability to use both midas. It's just like, imagine if you have a teacher. A teacher can use discipline, yell, scream, you know, whatever it is with kids. He can use ava. He can encourage them, embrace them, be nice to them, etc. If the person is be'etzem a teacher, that's his metzias, that means both of these work in total sync with one another. I take a look at the classroom and ask myself, what do these kids need now, and what's the best approach? As opposed to saying, what mood am I on now? Am I in a mood to chill out with them, or in the mood to let them have it? If they're in perfect sync, then I have two tools. I can use either one, depends as needed. So you zeicha to each midas separately if you have the correct chibur. It's like the Rambam's midas. If a person has his midas balanced inside, I am neither a person who's apathetic nor a person who explodes. I'm a person who's balanced and rational. So I can say to myself, you know, this situation, I need to push back. I need to be a little stern. This situation, I need to chill out this and that. You gain both Kesev and Zov as matonis, as wings, if you have them both in sync. Okay, I think we'll hold it here because the Hemshech is, it goes now to a new topic, but I think, I mean, it's dense enough as it is. The next piece is also, this happens to be an unusually difficult piece. I mean, it's very dense. It is one of his more dense pieces, but it also gives a certain sense of how to understand Chazal. I mean, understanding that Chazal are using metaphor in a very, very profound way. It's somebody was arguing with me, a very simple balabas, very nice from balabas. He has like a Rebbe who says Shirom from Balabatim in New York. And this person is a very from person. And he this person was a one-way conversation. He was telling me, like, it's, you know, Rebbe said, you know, like, every Chazal speak Pshutoi. He said, my Rebbe said, Chazal don't lie. I didn't respond. I nodded. I mean, I certainly agree to that. But to say that this is called lying, that, you know, to tell me that the literal story of them sinking to the ground and eating apples and this and that is what it's about, and this, what the Maharal is saying, it means that Chazal were lying to us, it takes an exceptional mind to grasp it that way. You really, really have to be obtuse. But look at it. I mean, he's struggling with prayer, and Chazal are telling us with every word something. They're describing things that are not, you know, it's so different when you hear the metaphor and see how the metaphor integrates the picture with the meaning behind it. It's a whole different picture when you understand that as two knafayim working in tandem. It gives you a picture that's much better than, you know, once you understand the explanation, you go back to the picture of it. It's a different tam in the hearing it that way. And he said, yes, these are two wings working in tandem. It's exactly what it is. It's a, you know, a zivug is a she'ifa for two things to come together. The question is, where are they coming together? Is it upward mobile or is it downward sliding? Which one is it? You know, okay, any questions, any points, anything?
I have a question.
Yes.
It says, V'pichach omar kanfe yoina.
Yeah.
Karim yoina al shem achtus achiva.
Right.
So why does yoina represent achtus again?
Because yoina is faithful to its mate. Uh-huh. I actually read recently, there are a handful of birds, I didn't remember which kinds, that seem to be faithful, or I saw glancing somewhere. I forgot where I wanted to look at it further, but it does seem to. I mean, we are aware of such things. I assume that Chazal tells the Yona is like that, but there were a very small handful. Most are not, because, you know, like always, the Shaila's evolution doesn't favor these things. Doesn't make any sense. You know, Mason would like you to have as many offspring as possible, but that's why the yoin is about this.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Beseda. So good Shabbos.
Yeah,
okay, Kalta.
Bye. Shabbos.